This is the official Caps Chirp podcast, proudly a part of the Hockey Podcast Network. Every team, everywhere. What's going on, Caps fans? It's me, the Hockey Troll, and I am here with that snack, Polly Cupcakes.
Hello, hello. I am here with you.
Caps fans, we got to tell you about DraftKings Sportsbook app and app in general. DraftKings app. There's two different apps. You should get them both. I just do not have my ad read up, but we're gonna just go do this live Bill O'Reilly style. Definitely check them out. Use code THPN. Polly, have you, I know that we did the thing, or downloaded it, but have you ever had, any other dealings with DraftKings?
I did one of those daily fantasies
where
you have like an allotted salary cap. It was still regular season.
Okay.
And I mean, I didn't win, but it was fun. It was, I didn't have to pay very much money, and it was like playing fantasy with way more excitement for the opportunity to win.
Absolutely. DraftKings is always giving you the best deals, especially if you use code THPN and download the app. You'll get all sorts of different offers. Usually it's something insane, but it is actually real, right? And the best part about DraftKings, it's your money, so you can withdraw, at your convenience and, input money at your convenience. So check it out now. DraftKings app. Use code THPN. After stumbling through that, I think we should pop some tabs.
Yeah.
One, two, three.
Wow. Okay. Well, off to a great start, Caps fans. We're going to be talking about the NHL playoffs. I don't know if you knew that was still going on for some teams. But we're also going to talk about awards finalists and, we'll review some of our round two predictions, which...
didn't go well.
they were great for me. I guess. No, I don't know. I don't even remember, honestly. Suspensions and injuries coming off of this off season or coming off of this playoff run for basically all the teams. So we'll be checking that out, man.
Since we popped tabs, let me show off my new party trick.
Okay.
So I use my...
well, show it to the camera.
Here we go. Nope. I use my wedding ring. Well, there it is. Boom. Cap is gone.
Wow. So Polly has figured out how to open beers for pop top beers bottles. If you're classy like Polly, you only drink long necks apparently. and he can now pop them off with his wedding ring, which, honestly, probably the best use for that fucking thing that has ever happened.
I wouldn't recommend it with all wedding rings, depending on what metal, but I've got tungsten, which apparently is like scratch and dent free.
Yeah, so. I've heard that you can barely cut that thing off. So like if your hand swelled up or something.
Cut my finger off.
Yeah, you'd have to cut your finger off. So
yeah.
I mean, talk about one error besetting another.
Or just true commitment.
Okay. All right, so let's get right into it. Since we last talked, Montreal fucking swept Winnipeg.
Yeah, this is looking like, was it last year or the year before where, was it the Isles swept the Pens and then Carolina swept the Isles? That's Montreal and Winnipeg. Winnipeg gets a sweep.
Right.
And then they get swept. Like what a turn of events. You're feeling super excited. You're thinking you got a real shot at this cup, and then coming off of your sweep, you get the exact same thing done to you.
Yeah, and I did a guest spot on Forecheck TV a week ago or so. Shout out Doug Glatke, I think how you pronounce it.
I just read it. I don't say it.
Yeah. Shout out for the invite on that. Kind of a last minute thing. It was a lot of fun. and they brought up the point, like, how bad is fucking Edmonton?
Yeah.
You know, having the top two scorers in the league and you still can't get past the first round, and then just to add insult to injury, you get swept.
Right.
In the first round.
You know, I think one of the things they're really going to need is a solid goalie. I don't think goalie was the problem, but if I remember correctly, Grubauer is a UFA, and Joe Sakic has a history of using people up and then not paying them when it's payday. So I wouldn't be surprised if Grubauer doesn't come back. Grubauer and Edmonton could make them a second-round team.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, why would you not bring back Grubauer after a Vezina series? I mean, you know, he's not making a lot. This was his first contract as a starter.
Well, it doesn't help that he just won the Vezina. So, I mean,
he won it?
A candidate.
He's up for it. Yeah, yeah. So, he did not win it, folks.
No, not yet. It's not announced yet. But
he should win it.
I think that's going to give him, you know, more to bargain with. I mean, Joe Sakic, someone like Tyson Barrie, who you thought, and most people would think was safe. Mm-hmm. You know, he got rid of him for cap space because they had Cale Makar coming. He's lucky that Nathan MacKinnon had a terrible season coming off his rookie deal, because he's at like 6.5.
yeah, which is the underpayment of the century.
I forget who all needs re-signed, but they've got a couple. And so I'm just saying, I think it's a possibility they won't bring back Grubauer. So that could be someone that fills that void.
They've invested so much in Grubauer up to this point, though, right? I mean, they gave him the grace period year to get his shit together. They had another year where it was just kind of like, you know, COVID. And then there's third year. I mean, I still think that they could probably get Grubauer for under $6 million a year.
Yeah. I mean,
for three or four.
I would love to see him back. You know, yeah. As you can see, I've got my shirt on, showing support, coming off that heartbreaking Series 2 loss. And I wanted to bring this up.
Mm-hmm.
Are the Colorado Avalanche this decade's version of the 2010s Washington Capitals?
Oh, my God. I don't know. I mean,
I think they are.
The only difference is that they're strong as hell down the middle.
Yeah.
When Kadri is, you know, not in the lineup. Trouble.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think they have high expectations. They have really good regular seasons, President's Trophy.
Sure.
3 years in a row, they've lost in the second round to, I think the teams they've been losing to have gone to the Cup. The Sharks and then...
They lose to Dallas?
The Sharks didn't go to the Cup that year. That was the Blues. But, yeah, Dallas, who went to the Cup. I mean, it kind of parallel. Vegas very likely could go to the Cup. It's very similar, I think, to, like, 2011 through 17 Washington Capitals. And so my theory is that they're going to do this for a couple more years, and then the expectations are going to be lowered. And when Nathan MacKinnon's, like, 32, then they'll win the Cup.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I mean, how old is MacKinnon right now?
I think he's, like, 25, 26. Well, he's been in the league for 9 years, so 27.
That's crazy.
I know, right?
Talk about an underperformer out the gate, though.
He's made up for it, though.
Well, speaking of which, the Knights did beat the Avalanche in six, dropping four in a row, the Avs did. Fucking terrible, man. I mean, that is...
They gave away two of those games.
How so?
I think it was game three. They had a 2-0 lead going into the third. No, that was game five. Game three, they were up 2-1 late and let up two quick ones.
Yeah.
So, okay, you know, you win that game three, and it might be a sweep. It just shows you how much a game three really, how much weight it holds.
Momentum, baby. Yeah.
And so, when they lost that, I put on the replay of 2001 Game 7 and consoled myself. watch the legendary Ray Bourque game.
Right. Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. I don't know. Yes, you can draw. There's so many parallels I'm sure you could draw when it comes to the Avalanche and the Washington Capitals. I don't think they're the same team. I think that the Capitals have had, during that time, had a glaring hole in the second and third line center position. We were very weak down the middle, I thought. Once we plugged that hole with Lynchman of the Stanley Cup, Lars Eller, in 2 years we won it.
Yeah, and so Joe Sakic plugged that hole much quicker than Washington did, but then he got suspended.
Right. And we'll go into that in a little later. But Tampa put Carolina away in five on Tuesday, and then the Islanders sent the Bruins home after game six. I mean, they just had blood in the water, went back to Nassau, and just fucking put the women and children to bed, as they say.
That was the environment that, you know, is the, like, the legend, quote-unquote legendary Coliseum.
Yes, no doubt. And, you know, Caps fans, I said it, and, you know, I guess only half hate towards the Bruins. I didn't think the Bruins were very good this year. And I think that they were very fortunate to get past the Washington Capitals in the first round due to the amount of injuries that the Caps sustained during the first round and into the during the stretch and into the first round. Yeah. I said it a couple episodes ago that this is the loss that hurts the least, I think, because we're kind of in a the core is locked or soon to be locked. I'm interested to see what happens in this offseason with the expansion draft. And then it's almost kind of like a slate wiped clean for next season. And hopefully we're getting in. We're going to play 82 games. Ovi's going to start, you know, climbing that ladder again. And hopefully next season's a little bit better. I hate when there is a shortened season. That's the worst to me, because I think that part of hockey's allure, or at least the NHL, is that these guys have to do this for 82 games. I mean, you saw it with the Penguins. They were a fucking joke. They shouldn't have been in the playoffs last year, and they didn't technically make the actual playoff rounds. They shouldn't have been in the playoffs this year, but a favorable schedule with it being short and getting the cupcake last half of the season, I think really benefited them. So, you know, while the Capitals had one of the hardest in the league last halves, and it showed. I mean, you know, say what you will about doubling down on veterans and age and all this stuff, but the Capitals built their team around being a heavy squad, and with that type of with the way that the team is built, one, you're going to take a lot of penalties, and two, you're going to bang, and there's probably going to be injuries.
Right.
What does the Capitals team look like in an 82-game schedule? I mean, I have to think Ovi's probably good by that time, 100%. I think that Backe, Oshie, Carlson, Schultz, you know, I mean, the list goes on. Eller. I think that all of these guys have a better shot at getting healthy if there's an 82-game season, but, you know, well, that's another cat to gut another day, I guess. Just a quick update. The Islanders are up as of today on Tampa Bay 1-0. We were supposed to watch the replay, but we actually had to do some prep for our Thursday episode, which is going to include the Hockey Troll Hip Chuck and the Snack Time with Pauly Cupcakes.
Been a couple weeks.
It's been quite a while since those segments have made their return or have been aired. So I'm going to talk about Corey Perry, and Pauly's going to talk about some what if situations. Is that right?
Yeah, and since we're talking about Snack Time, just real quick. Shout out to my brother PJ. I got a really funny video today. He did a snack time of his own. It was the Hostess mini crunchy donuts.
Mini crunchy donuts?
Yeah, like the little tiny ones.
Yeah, but what is the crunchy
on the outside?
They're crunchy?
Yeah.
Like, what is the crunch?
I don't know. Like breading of some sort.
I don't think I've seen these. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. What did he give it? What did he...
Well, he said it wasn't very good, but his second bite, he dipped in the coffee. It was actually better with the coffee. So, oh,
yeah.
If you're going to get the crunchies, dip them in coffee. He Fair said enough. The crunch was very underwhelming.
Mm. So you might as well just like double down on that and dip it into the coffee, make it nice and soggy for you.
Yeah.
A little caffeine hit in the back end.
Yeah.
You know, get the full palate going.
PJ Cupcakes.
Oh, sorry, PJ. side note, PK Subban is working for SportsCenter as an analyst for the Stanley Cup playoffs.
I think I don't have ESPN, so I haven't seen anything.
But I have not either. I have Plus, though.
Yeah, and probably can watch SportsCenter on that, but I think he's a good representative of the game, and as we're getting into ESPN next year, I think it's good to add a player.
Sure.
An active player, because people are going to watch him play after they see his personality.
Wait. So how long is Subban's contract? Do you know?
I think it's just this playoffs.
Oh, so he's a UFA after the season.
Oh, I thought you meant his ESPN contract.
No.
I don't know about his contract.
Because he's still in Jersey, yeah?
Yeah.
Wow. It's interesting. Good for him. I mean, the guy was made for media. I don't see why. I mean, this is they should have a contract ready to ink as soon as he retires or calls it quits or whatever, you know.
Right.
Maybe we can get Carl Alsner on there too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So ESPN, check out friend of the podcast Carl Alsner. I think he does a good job breaking it down.
Yeah. Hire Carl.
Yeah, hashtag hire Carl. So figure that out. We got awards finalists here. So the Willie O'Ree Community Hero Award presented by Mass Mutual. Andrew Coleman coming in. Shout out, Andrew. Carl is too real for ESPN. Hey, you know what? ESPN is the bed we have to lay in, right?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully, with this new deal, that is able to change.
I really hope so, man. I mean, I'm glad that the league's making better money, but I hope that ESPN delivers and doesn't just half-ass it.
Well, that game I watched, the 2001 Stanley Cup, it was on ABC, which is ESPN.
Okay.
And it was Gary Thorne and Bill Clement calling the game, which those are the guys who did like the early 2000s NHL games.
Oh, yeah.
And then Steve Levy did the between intermission interview.
Okay.
And Al Michaels was the intermission show.
Wow.
That was an awesome lineup. And Al Michaels is with NBC now, but Steve Levy's really good. And if Gary Thorne comes back, I think ESPN could be all right.
You know what? I have this... It's the most fucked up weird memory of Bill Clement, but I thought it was hilarious. you know, there was a time when... I forget. I was watching a game. I'm not sure what was the context of it or what game it was. But Bill Clement solidified his spot in my ever-present mind by saying, you know what they used to call me when we were playing is they used to say, Clement, Clement, hands of cement. And I was like, I can relate, Bill.
Hey, you got to be able to make fun of yourself.
Right. No doubt.
And I agree with Andrew. They were the Doc and Edzo equivalent, but better, because I think Edzo has become... I think he's gone downhill a little bit with
Dude,
talk.
I have not been a fan of Edzo this past... I think that it's just been... You know, how many times can you tell the player to throw their hands to the crossbar? Like, I get it, dude, but...
He needs a talk.
Yeah, and the thing is that he's just so, like, he's so, I mean, so Edzo is, he played for the Penguins, right?
Yeah. Probably other teams, too. But sure. I know the Penguins.
But I feel like he's always got this, like, hard-on for those finesse-type teams, and he's always willing to vilify any physical player. Like, I don't know, man. Not a fan. And I used to really like Edzo. I don't know what happened. But I feel like he may be slipping a little bit.
I agree. And I'm convinced he needs Doc.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting to see that who's exposed here in the lineup. Yeah. Right. You know, love to see that Edzo, you know, did all that work in beat cancer and everything. Love to see him back. But as a standalone guy, someone who can really hold the torch and carry it. You know, it'd be kind of like Caps fans if Polly Cupcakes were here, just talking to you alone into a fucking open mic.
That would be terrible. That'd be terrible.
Come on, it wouldn't be that bad, dude. Well, it wouldn't be Edzo bad, but it might be close.
I think Edzo would be good for intermission roundtable talk.
Yeah, where you can break down plays. That would be like where I would like his expertise.
Yeah.
Or, you know, maybe even lack thereof. I mean, you know, there's something to be said about when, like, announcers are totally wrong and just own it.
Yeah.
You know, I love that, but I don't know.
Well, whoever ESPN hires, I just hope they don't hire any of the former coaches that currently or formerly worked for NBC.
Yeah.
Meaning Babcock and Milbury.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't hate Milbury the way everyone else does.
I don't either.
I'd be happy to have him not around.
Sure. I mean, the thing with Milbury is that, like, people take him seriously. And that's the number one thing that you need to never do. I mean,
right.
Mike Milbury is a fucking douchebag. And you should just, you know, that's okay. It's okay to be a douchebag and know it.
Right.
You know, I mean, he hit a man with a shoe, a fan. I read an article where he pushed a child to the ice.
Oh, Jesus.
Because he was messing with his grandkid. I mean, you got to appreciate that side of the hockey, right? So he's like, Mike Milbury is like an uglier Alan May.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Alan May.
On many levels below.
True. Right. Alan May never jumped into the fucking stands and whacked a guy with his own shoe.
Yeah, Alan May's a beaut.
He is. And, you know, if one thing I will say about this, and I know we're on a tangent right now, but if they do not fucking hire Patrick Sharp, I'll stop watching hockey.
He's too beautiful.
Those baby blues, man. I mean, just the chiseled jaw, you know, the nose, I mean, everything. The guy, he looks like a Greek statue.
He does. You know?
I mean, I get a little tight in the pants just like watching him talk. And because he makes direct, you know how like now they have him front and center.
Yeah.
He used to be like over to the side. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, they were like this guy.
They're like, nah, got to get Hollywood, got to get the Greek statue in front of everybody.
Yeah. You got Brad Pitt, you put him center screen.
Absolutely. And then, you know, whenever he looks directly in the camera, I'm just like,
swoon.
Beyond his amazing looks, he gives really good. I think he gives really good commentary.
He does, and he brings it down to like a player level.
Right, and he was not a. I mean, Patrick Sharp was a very good player. Don't get me wrong. He scored lots of goals, but he was never like an Ovechkin. Right, he's that perfect medium between the players who are top titty, like a Gretzky, who just, oh, well, every time every time I shot, it went in. And a guy who can like kind of like bring it down, like, well, I was never that good. I had to work this hard, and this is what I learned via that process, right? So,
yeah.
You know, if they don't bring Sharpie in, I'll sign a fucking petition. I will write an angry letter.
Yeah. On a typewriter.
Yeah.
Angry.
Yeah. Very angry. anyways, awards finalists is what we were trying to get to. Yeah. Willie O'Ree Community Hero Award presented by Mass Mutual. Renee Hess is the founder of the Black Girl Hockey Club, which gets a lot of love from the DC crowd. So good for that.
I see them all over social media. Mm-hmm. And I don't know who votes on this, but if it's fan voted, I would be surprised if they don't win.
Sure. Kevin Hodgson, executive director of Heroes. I'm not familiar with this one. It must be kind of a charity to bring kids, you know, kids onto the ice. And then Howard Smith, co-founder of Pittsburgh Ice. Do you know anything about these organizations, the last two?
I don't. I have a guess of Pittsburgh Ice, but yeah. When I could look it up, why would I make the guess?
Right. So why don't you look it up?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I haven't heard a lot about Pittsburgh Ice, and we're really close to Pittsburgh right now. So I it's interesting. But we'll move on, and then we can circle back around. The Bill Masterson Trophy, you know, we outlined before. Matt Dumba, Oscar Limbaum, and then Patrick Marleau. So Bill Masterson is gonna be the community trophy, right? The giving back. I guess it's kind of like a different kind of.
Masterton is the
The biggest comeback. Yeah, the perseverance. Yeah, my bad.
I don't see how you don't give this to Oscar Limbaum.
Yeah, I think he's kind of a lock here. That's right. And we talked about this last season. Like, if Oscar Lindbaum comes back, I mean, I don't see how you don't give it back to him or give it to him. So, interesting.
So, Pittsburgh Ice is it's inclusive, inclusion creates quality. It's a part of the NHL Hockey is for Everyone program. Committed to offering children of all socioeconomic backgrounds the opportunity to learn to play a game of ice hockey. So cool. It, you know, helps people who are underprivileged. Heroes is coming up as something in England and it's horses.
That is not it. That's interesting. That's kind of what they do at Fort DuPont down there for Howard Smith, the founder of Pittsburgh Ice. So it's awesome to see programs like that popping up around the country.
So, Heroes, Hockey Education Reaching Out Society, volunteer-driven charity that uses the game of hockey to teach life skills and empower marginalized youth. So, it sounds very similar to Pittsburgh Ice.
Yeah, it seems, and the Black Girl Hockey Club.
Right.
It seems like a lot of this, and you know, the Willie O'Ree kind of community award is a lot about getting non-traditional hockey crowds into hockey, which is great. You know, I definitely fall into that category. You know, I didn't have any of these programs when I was coming up, and I remember being the only minority in almost every locker room.
Yeah,
every locker room except for our beer league team. Shout out Don. You know, so very interesting to see. And good by all means. So awesome. Moving on, the Norris, which is the best defenseman, Cale Makar, Victor Hedman, and Adam Fox. So I know that Hedman is up for it for like the 10th consecutive year or whatever, but I've got to say, like, Adam Fox is probably the dark horse here, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, so when I look at these three names, I think if they're going to win, it's for these reasons. Makar, the eye test.
Right.
Hedman, because he's a legend. Right. Fox, because of his stats.
Because he's actually good.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, Makar has really good stats, but I think Adam Fox has, like, ridiculous power play numbers.
Yeah.
And,
I mean, we were snake bitten by Adam Fox for the entire season as Caps fans. I mean, he put us away a couple times. Definitely kind of the less known one. Out of this crowd, but I think he's got a good shot. So we'll see if Hedman. I don't think it's Hedman's year again this year.
No, I don't think so. And I think Cale Makar has the advantage of being a superstar for two seasons and the 2019 playoffs.
Yeah.
Adam Fox is a little more unknown. So right. I think it'll be his only benefit is he's East Coast, but the Rangers weren't a big deal this year.
Right.
So, if the Rangers have made the playoffs, I think Adam Fox, just due to visibility, would have a much better chance. I would think Makar gets this, but I think this is very close, and they all have very similar chances of winning.
Sure. I agree. I think McCarron might run away with this one, but I think that it's great that Adam Fox is getting some love here, and I'm sure the Broad Street Boys are definitely pumped about that.
Well, they need it after that other defenseman.
No doubt. He who shall not be named. Hart Memorial Trophy. Nathan MacKinnon, Austin Matthews, and Connor McDavid. I don't know how you don't give this to Connor McDavid, because he basically, you saw in the playoffs what this team is without him.
Yeah.
And honestly, though, you could say that for the Leafs, too. But the Leafs at least won a couple games.
Yeah. I mean, the only way I think you don't give it to McDavid or Matthews, I mean, they each have won this season a points trophy.
Right.
So if you don't win one of those trophies, whether it's points or goals or assists, I feel like you have to have like a significant point share, to show how much more you scored than the rest of your team. Right. And I think MacKinnon may have had that in the past, but the team is so deep now.
Right.
The only reason I think MacKinnon gets this is because people see how amazing of a player he is. And while he may be one of the top three in the world, I don't know if he, not that he doesn't mean more to his team, but I don't know if his team needs him as much as McDavid or Matthews. And I think when you're talking MVP, that's what you got to look at. Not the guy with the most points in the league, but the guy who meant the most to his team.
Exactly. And you've hit the nail on the head, I think, there, Pauly. And I think that Connor McDavid, as exemplified, if he goes away, your team gets swept. Your team is literally nothing. Like, who are the Edmonton Oilers sans Connor McDavid? Not a playoff team, I would think.
No.
Right? I mean, you're going to rely on Leon Draisaitl, who's had an amazing year as well and an amazing couple years, but is he enough to get you into the playoffs? I don't think so.
No. I think he's amazing, but...
Sure.
He's like Malkin.
Yeah.
He is a solid second-best guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Playing second fiddle. never the bride, always the bridesmaid.
Yeah. Talk about that on Thursday.
Yeah, absolutely. Jack Adams Award. So, Rod Brind'Amour, again, I think he's been nominated... I think this is his second time.
What's he been... Is this his third season?
I want to say third, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he is made... Because they were kind of irrelevant when he picked them up, right?
Yeah, and they had just... then again, you have to look at that roster, right? Rod Brind'Amour comes in. And, last year, a couple of years, since we started this podcast and been on the Hockey Podcast Network, we've talked to the Carolina guys. And, he said, look... Rod Brind'Amour didn't want this job. They basically asked him to come on. And that is a kind of a reason why Rod Brind'Amour is so awesome. And also, it's Rod the Bot.
Stud.
I mean, I wonder what he looks like with his shirt off.
I'd love to see.
We're doing a lot of man love today.
Yeah. Hey, do it.
I love all these men. We got Patrick Sharp, loving him. Rod the Bot, Brind'Amour. Loving him. I regret nothing.
Men deserve to be oogled as well.
Exactly. And I oogle
away.
I oogle both of these men. also, we've got for Andrew's still hanging in with the live stream here. Andrew Coleman again. It is Pride Month. It is. It's true. Shout out. Dean Evason. For the Minnesota Wild, he's turned that team around. And then Joe Quenneville for Florida. It's crazy to say, but I feel like Quenneville is a front runner here, man. Like, how do you not give it to Quinny after saying fuck you to Chicago and then just going to Florida everybody knew that Florida has like some talent. You know, they got Barkov. Things are going well for them. They've got some good young talent. They have a billion-dollar goalie. But that's it, right? Nobody knows anybody else on that team. To take that team and, you know, give Tampa Bay a little bit of a fight. It's interesting. It's definitely interesting to see that Joel Quenneville is up here again. We think that, well, I won't speak for you. I think Barry Trotz is the best coach in the NHL. I think Joel Quenneville is of 1A or 1B.
Yeah, I'd have a hard time arguing that. I want to say Bednar in Colorado is one of the better ones, but I also look at the way...
But look at Bednar's stable of studs.
I think more credit goes to the roster that Sakic has built.
Right.
Bednar's a great coach, but...
Sure.
Yeah, he's definitely not with those guys yet. And I would have to say Trotz is better than Quenneville, even though Quenneville has more cups.
Yeah, and you look at Dean Evason here as well for Minnesota, and Minnesota was a surprise this year. Yeah, I didn't know if they were going to make the playoffs.
He brought them into the playoffs on fire.
Yeah.
They were scary. I mean, they almost knocked out the Knights.
Right. Yeah. And nobody wanted to play them.
I wish they would have.
Ah, me too. Good God. All right. Well, that's our awards wrap up here. But we do have second round predictions that we will review now. the Colorado versus Vegas.
Jesus.
We both had the Avalanche. I had them in 4. And you had them in 7. None of those were correct. No. Vegas ends up winning in 6. Yep. After the Avs dropped 4 in a row. Literally after I make this prediction.
No, they won one more. Because we made the prediction when they won game 1, 7-1.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's a terrible time to make a prediction. We're looking at this ass kicking. And we're right. Like, yeah, they're going to do it.
Sure. the Avalanche in this series looked very lost in their own zone, which is why I don't think Bednar is on this list, man.
Yeah.
Because when you look at defensive... So, okay.
Starting in game 2. Game 1, they looked like the best team in the world.
Oh, sure.
But game 2, once you hit like the second period...
Right.
From that point on, Vegas really...
Just took over.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you have to also... I mean, you think about it and, you know, Leonard goes in for game 1 and then now it's Fleury's net and yada, yada, yada. But... I mean, the hubris of Vegas to just say, oh, yeah, we're just going to throw away the first game on Leonard and see what he does. But, this is why I think Bednar is probably not the coach they may win with.
You think?
I don't know, man. I mean, you have to look at how they were structured in their defensive zone, and it was a shit show when they were getting hammered on by a good team. Nobody, I mean, defensive assignments blown, not a lot of structure in their own zone. To me, that is a strong indication. When your team falls apart completely in your own zone, we saw it with the Capitals and Reardon.
But you're saying the defensive zone?
Yeah, in your own zone.
Okay, because I was going to say, they put on a very strong forecheck.
Yes, but those are the things that you can, I think as a coach, like, okay, that's fine. That's your offensive coach doing that, right?
Yeah.
But you're, when I feel like as a head coach, your priority should be setting up the defensive zone and knowing how you're
going to,
right. And that's why Trotz, like you said, that's why Trotz is so good, Paulie. When you have the defensive structure, because, you know, scoring is built from the goal line out, from your own goal line out. What are you going to do on the breakout? How is the breakout structured? How many looks do you give on the breakout at what lines, whatever that looks like? You know, how many options do you have to clear the puck? And once you clear the puck, you know, then it's out of your hands. I feel like at that point you give less instruction and let the players play on their own. But in the defensive zone, that is something that you can coach better, and you should coach better, and you should provide a lot more direction as to how you want things to go. And that's why trots, I think, is so great, because, you know, he'll clog the high danger areas and just say, all right, well, if shit's not working, let's just stack five guys in that, you know, everybody retreat back to that, to the high slot area, and then figure out what the hell is going on. You know, if you need to block a shot in between that, you're going to block a shot and then find your man. And then the breakout. The breakout is secondary, right? Those are like the two main things that I think that a head coach should and does have a lot of control over and really needs to take to heart. So that's why I think that Bednar is not in that hole. And that's why I think that maybe like he may be at risk.
That's a good point, but he's a man rocket.
Bednar?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
He's beautiful.
Oh, okay.
Well, Silver Fox.
Oh, okay. You know, I thought that him and Quinn from who the Rangers fans hate, and I think he already got fired. Quinn from the Rangers with those bright blue eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tough to say no to those.
Yeah, and the coiffed of hair that he's got.
Yeah.
Winnipeg versus Montreal or Toronto at this point. It was game 7 Monday evening. We both had Winnipeg.
Yeah. So, 0-2.
Yeah. I had them in 5. You had them in 6.
Yeah.
They went 7.
No, they went 4. Or
they went 4. I'm sorry. They swept.
They My got bad. Swept, yeah.
Yeah, they got swept by Montreal, which, who the hell? Yeah. So, I was way more wrong than you. Isles versus Boston. We both said Isles in 7. They ended it in 6. That's our closest.
Yeah.
I'll take that as a win. In context, you know, I think that's a win.
Yeah.
Carolina versus Tampa Bay. I had Tampa in 6, or 5. You had Tampa in 6.
Was it 6? No, it was 5. You caught that on the
head. I said 5.
You caught it on the head.
Did I?
Yeah, it was 5 games.
Oh.
I think so. I'll double check.
I rule.
Go ahead and talk.
I'm awesome. So Tampa in 5. I knew it all along. I mean, come on. There's nothing. Nobody should be surprised over that.
Yeah, it was 5. I think it was. Exactly. I think we talked about this last week, maybe. I think it was game 3, coming off of Carolina's first win,
mm-hmm.
and this is in Tampa, and they were winning. At one point, I think they were up like 3-1 or something.
Yeah.
And I wasn't watching. I just saw the score. And then I saw at the second intermission, it was like 5-3 or 5-4 Tampa. And I was like, that's it.
Yeah.
You blow that lead in game 4, it's done.
Yeah. And again, you know, I think Brendan Moore's got some work to do. You know, he's got a young defensive core. So he's going to need to figure that out. But it happens. I mean, they've got a bright future for sure in Carolina. Suspensions, though. Boston's Nick Ritchie has been fined $5,000 for elbowing Islander Scott Mayfield. I didn't see this play.
I didn't either.
Whatever.
When they post these articles on the website,
yeah,
for the fines, they don't show it.
They don't show
just
it.
Just the suspension.
They should.
I know. They should.
Whatever. Boston Bruins coach Bruce Cassidy has been fined $25,000 for his post-game comments about the officiating Monday. Now, look, here's the thing. When I thought that, you know, a lot of, you know, all the commentators were like, oh, yeah, this is great for Butch Cassidy to be, you know, standing up for his team. But I looked at it as whining. And when you start whining about calls, the series is over.
Yeah. And, you know, my first thought of this was, okay, so this individual who makes a couple million a year gets a $25,000 fine.
Yeah.
That, to me, made the New York Rangers $250,000 fine seem very fair.
Yeah.
Because they're a billion-dollar organization. So right. If coaches are going to get fined for calling out the league, what the Rangers got was very fair.
What about the $100,000 fine the Caps got for breaking protocol?
Oh, they deserved it.
Okay, fair enough. And I guess you're right. I mean, you don't bite the hand that feeds you. I mean, this is something that has always been, and I know Bruins fans are probably butthurt about it, as they I guess they should be. If this is the Caps, I would be upset too. But they had to see that this was coming.
Right.
I don't see how you don't see this coming.
And I get you want to be able to say how you feel, blah, blah, blah. But I also understand where the league's coming from. If you allow that to happen all right. the time, you're going to eventually the inmates are going to be running the prison.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
So you have, as much as we don't like it, they need to keep control.
Yeah. You can't have the crazies running the asylum, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Especially Butch fucking Cassidy, who's gotten in trouble before. I have a poster right there.
I was going to say, as you look at the poster.
I have a poster right there when Randy Carlyle was the coach of the Caps. And then Bruce Cassidy got the fucking head coach job and walked into the fucking Washington locker room while guys' wives were sick and had family issues and everything else, and said that you guys need to be doing more for the team. Like, fuck you, dude. That is a foo paw. You know, Bruce Cassidy's big fat fucking mouth has gotten him in trouble more times than not in his career. It took him over a decade to recover from that bad, you know, and I'll say it. Yeah. I mean, I think it took him, this is back when Bruce Cassidy had a full head of fucking hair, and this was when he, you know, got blackballed from the league, basically from the NHL, and said, look, you can't be saying that shit to your fucking players like a classless masshole that you are, Bruce. I don't even know if he's from fucking Massachusetts, but I'm pretty sure he is. But, you know, that's not cool. And, you know, Bruce Cassidy is one of those high and mighty fuckheads that thinks he's like the man and all that shit. So I feel zero remorse for him. I know Bruins fans love him. I think that he fits their persona, well. Not to say anything. I mean, you know, that's not a indictment on Bruins fans by any means. There's way more things we can indict them on for than other than the support of their head coach. But yeah, I mean, the big thing with Bruce Cassidy is that he's, you know, a known shitbag, running his fucking flap, his suckhole, you know, and he's lost teams in the past for it. In the show, and he's been slapped on the wrist here with this fine.
Yeah.
Arbitrator upheld Nazem Kadri's 8-game suspension. So, what do you think about this, Paul? I mean, you follow the Avs a little bit more.
I mean, I get it. He has a history of questionable plays in the playoffs.
And he's considered a repeat offender.
Yeah.
At this point.
I mean, if the Avs would have won, he was there for Game 7. I think he is a very important part of the roster. But if you're a Stanley Cup team, you can win without him.
Maybe, yeah. I don't know.
I don't know.
Unless it's a terribly bad look for this player.
It is.
Who, when he was in Toronto, you know, had multiple years where the Toronto Maple Leafs needed him.
Yeah, I mean, Colorado was a chance for a clean slate.
Yeah, and it just seems like he's quote-unquote back to his old ways. I mean, we were actually with Carl Alsner on a StreamYard here when that hit happened, and he was like, oh, dude, somebody got lit up in the slot. Yeah. And we all, like, we got on and checked it, and it was like, oh, fuck, that's Kadri. He's done. It's tough to see for a player of his caliber. And you know, now the narrative is, oh, well, he just blows it for, you know, where a team could need him. I mean, do you think that he would have been a beneficial piece in these games he was out?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so too. I do.
I think some of those close games that they blew, he could have been a big help.
Right. I mean, he's an underrated defensive center.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Who knows? I, 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 I wonder what this does to his trade stock or anything else. I think Sakic's kind of stuck with him, though.
I mean, I want him back.
Yeah. Why wouldn't... it's just... Woof. Bad look. But anyways, Mark Scheifele's remaining one game of suspension will carry over to the next season. You know, you have to think if Scheifele, their leading scorer, is... you know, in the lineup, do the Winnipeg Jets at least win one? I think yes.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. And again, we've talked about the Scheifele hit a couple, you know, last week. I think that four games is brutal. I think that, I mean, a guy who has zero history and he gets four games and Jake Evans, you know, we hope he's okay, but if he gets up and sells that empty netter, who knows what the fuck happens here.
Right. It definitely would have been different.
Yeah, I mean, he did get up high, but that's the only thing I'll say, is that I think that the only thing he did wrong was that he, as Evans was in a prone position, not protecting himself at all, he did make head contact, and that's a no-no. And that's all, I guess, you know, if you want to hear me go full on about it, tune in to what, Monday's episode? Last Monday's episode.
Yep.
All right. Let's quickly go through the injuries that had happened on the teams that were eliminated. Tuukka Rask expected to be sidelined until January or February because of torn labrum in his hip that will require surgery. I mean, Tuukka's getting older and, you know, I'm sure that the Tuukka hate crowd is still just up in arms, but give it a fucking rest. Yeah. The guy had a torn labrum in his hip, and a labrum is something that basically holds your shit together.
Yeah.
I don't know. This looks bad. I wonder what he'll be like when he comes back, or if he's contemplating retirement at this point. I mean, what do you think?
Well, I think he's 34.
Yeah.
I think people have talked that retirement could be on the list, but I think he's been quoted as saying he wants to help Swayman.
Yeah,
as
Jeremy
help
Swayman.
Him develop. So it sounds like he wants to come back.
And you know what? Tuukka seems like such a fucking class act that he would not mind being a backup.
Yeah.
Or splitting 50-50 or 60-40.
Well, last time he was, he won a cup.
Fair enough. That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a very good point. Old Tim Thomas days. Stephen Kampfer, also on the Bruins, has a out for a hand, expected back next season, and Brandon Carlo had an injury that is undisclosed. So, interesting stuff there. None more beat up than the Caps, but to have your number one goalie go down, definitely tough. And, you know, it's funny because the whole buzz I thought was upper body injury with Tuukka Rask, during the actual playoffs. So, interesting to see this. Way worse, I think, than Bruins fans thought.
Yeah, for sure.
The Carolina Hurricanes, Vincent Trocheck played through an MCL sprain versus Lightning, missed games 3 and 4, and played game 5. Not much you can do there, man. I mean, an MCL sprain is a debilitating sprain, and sometimes sprains take more time to heal than a break.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta nurse those things back, right? Kudos to him for coming back and playing Game 5.
Yeah.
Warren Fogle missed Game 5 versus Tampa with an upper body injury. Probably be back by next season. The Canadiens, John Merrill is expected to miss another week with an undisclosed injury. He's injured in Game 5 versus Toronto. Jake Evans still listed out as a concussion, as we talked previous. Glad that he is, you know, didn't have to go to the hospital apparently, but, you know, tough to see the concussion stuff. You never know how prevalent that is. I'm not sure his history on the concussion head injury stuff, but hope that he gets back quick. Jeff Petrie is going to miss one game or game one with a hand injury, and Tomas Tatar is still out, undisclosed injury. He's been out for a while.
Yeah.
So, moving on, the Islanders, Oliver Wahlstrom, who's been out, the guy who has the absolute fucking cannon from the blue line, a lower body, and Michael Dal Colle, undisclosed. If Oliver Wahlstrom can come back, I think that that changes. I mean, you know, the Isles took game one. That's just going to add fuel to the fire, baby.
For sure.
Yeah. The Knights, Peyton Krebs missed game six with a jaw injury, and Tomas Nosek missed game six, both against Colorado, undisclosed injury as well. Nosek is kind of a lower line guy, lower in the depth chart, but definitely something that they would want back. And the Jets, Dominic Tenado missed game four versus Montreal with an undisclosed injury. I'm sure that he'll be back by next season. Yeah, and I think that's about it for us, Caps fans. So, again, thanks for tuning in. I know that we're in the offseason. We love that you're hanging around with us while we're talking kind of general hockey and not so much Caps news. When Caps news does break, obviously, we will be with you, giving you some insight onto it. And, you know, as always, please rate the podcast 5 stars only.
5 stars only.
And additionally, we'll be going... AJ Howard. AJ Howard always bitches and complains like a little baby that we don't show his comments. So he goes, long off season for you guys. As a Penguins fan, AJ, looks like you also have a long off season, but yeah. I think
2 days longer.
Yeah.
Or 2 days shorter.
Yeah. I think that your off season looks way worse because you don't have the world's greatest goal scorer.
Absolutely.
As a matter of fact, I think you should probably trade Crosby, you know, fold the team, turn PPG Paints Arena into a parking garage, you know, all that.
Do what's right.
Yeah, no doubt. Andrew Coleman here. Any golf this weekend? Pauly has yet to come out with me onto the fucking links. He's a bitch. But you know what? I've got some great hand-me-down clubs from my buddy, shout out Rick Murray, defensive partner on my beer league team, and a driver. And I played a couple weekends ago at a local course, and it was pretty good. Shot like a 105.
There you go.
I bought a house. I've been fucking remodeling it hardcore. Me and my girlfriend, and it has been a very slow and arduous process. And basically, I just have, you know, my goal was to hit 80 this season, and I still have that in the back of my head, but it's been hindered by, I don't know,
life.
Yeah, life, and I guess they say good investments. But captions. We'll be going live here in another second because I just don't want to upload this to the THPN, what do you call it? YouTube. There you go. And we'll be talking about Corey Perry. And, Pauly, what are you going to be talking about?
Some Stanley Cup storylines.
Absolutely. So, kind of on the same vein. Talking about the Stanley Cup, obviously. And that'll be out for Thursday. But if you want a sneak peek, you can tune into it live here in about 20, 30 minutes. Until next time, Caps fans, thanks for tuning in. It is Hockey Troll, Pauly Cupcakes, signing off. Hey, Caps fans, thanks for tuning in to the official Caps Chirp podcast, repping the greatest team in the NHL. Follow me, the Hockey Troll, at Hockey Trolling on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
And follow me, Pauly Cupcakes, at Cupcake Pauly on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok.
And follow the show's handle, at Caps Chirp, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Special thanks to the Hockey Podcast Network, at HockeyPodNet on social, and thehockeypodcastnetwork.com. The Hockey Podcast Network. Every team, everywhere. Check them out, or we're not friends anymore.